see. Ethan, can you just turn the air conditioning? Actually, you don't have to. That's based on what we talked about, Shabbos. Okay, we can turn it on. Okay.
You,
I'm connected. I'm ready. It's on the recording. Okay, so should I start? I don't know who's here. Colossians is usually the person I see.
Yes, the Rosh Hashiva is good to go. The floor belongs to Rosh Hashiva.
Okay, thank you, Gabby. Okay, so we'll start. This is an article that Rav Zafrani wrote. I'm going to change it, obviously, a lot. But the main point, we're going to use some of his sources and say things a little bit differently. So we'll start at the Asure Asara Haruge Malchus. Okay, that's where we're going to start. This is where we say this on Yom Kippur and also on Tisha B'Av. We're going to try to understand something from the interchange. So we say in this kina, Eile Eskarav Enapshi Alai Eshpacha, we have the story of the Gzeira that happened on the 10 martyrs. So they get the Gzeira that they have to die, all 10 of them captured. And they answer, give us zman tne lanu shlosha yamin. Give us 3 days to check things out. If this death of the 10 tzaddikim was a gzeira from the heavens, this is all the kina, the liturgy. I say kina, lamentation. I think it's okay. Vashemin, if we're guilty, we'll find out. Nikabel gzera me'el rachamim. We will accept the gzera from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chalu v'zau v'nau kulamo. Everybody was shaking and petrified. Rabbi Shmuel go ben Elisha Kohen Gadol went up and looked up in the Shamayim. And he went and said the Shema Meforash to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ladat im yatsa gzeira me'eis Elokeinu, to figure out whether or not the gzeira came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the answer came from the Shamayim, and it says, yes, Barachai of the 10 of them, Kiblu Chachamim Tzadikim V'Yedidim, the Kabbalah, says Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol. He says, the Kabbalah, the Gzeir, he says to his friends, Ki shamati me'achrei apargud. I saw behind the wall in Shamayim, ki, or the Mechitza, ki bezos atem nilkadim, because for this Avera, you are being punished. You have to die. Now, in the continuation of the Kina, the Nasi Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was going out to be killed first. He was the first one to be executed. And what they gave him a strange murder, strange execution. They ripped his flesh off of his face. Everybody knows the story. And Rabbi Shmuel screamed, Sarach, Rabbi Shmuel. The kol mar leyotzer nishmaso to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created his neshama. And he says, how could it be? Zu Torah v'zu schara. He yells at Hashem. This is the Torah. This is the reward to see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel get his skin ripped off. Now, this is the point that we're going to focus on. Anta bas kol mishamayim. The bas kol answers. Im yie kol acher, if anyone else is going to speak, Efoch Olam Lemayim, I'm going to turn the world back into water. Metova Vo Ashisa Domayim, I'm going to make the whole world back to Tova Vo, nothingness. Gzera Himilafanai, this is a Gzera, says the Basco. Kiblu Mikaime Das Yomayim, I want you to Mikabal this Gzera. So asks Rav Zafrani Akasha on the answer of the Basco to Rabbi Shmuel. What is this answer? They ask him, look at this, is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tzadik Gadol. This is all his Torah. This is the reward that he gets. And the Basco responds and says, accept the Gzeira, one more word out of anybody, and I'm turning the whole world back into Tohu Vavohu. What is Hashem's response, or the Basco's response to such a thing? And he finds a very similar, Rav Zafrani makes a connection between the response in this Kina to the response of Hashem to Eov. Similar non sequitur almost. In Sefer Eov, right, which is discussing the Anhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, Eov asks a lot of shailas and kashas on the Anhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Sarva Onesh. That's the basic concept of the book. He's Beheb asking kashas. And he says, Eretz Natna Biyad Rasha, Eov says, you gave the land over to Rishayim, evil. And Shemishiva. No, so that's the Kashi's asking. The world is full of evil and horrible things. The world, what's going on in the world? That's his Kasha. How could such evil be running the world with a good God, with a good, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could he do it? That's his Kasha. Now, in Eov Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Dalid, Eov responds, Hashem responds to Eov. And he says, Eifo hayita biyasdi aretz. That's the pasuk in Eov Lamed Ches Dalet. Finally, Hashem responds, where were you when I made the world? When I made the foundations of the land. What is this? What is he answering him? Similar to what the Basco says back to Rabbi Yishmael. If one more word out of you asking kashas on the way I'm running the world, I'm going to turn the whole world back to Tohu Vavohu, pre-Maisa Bracious. Okay. Fine. We have to understand this answer. What is this teretz to all of the kashas of Eov and Scarba Onesh? So there are two different mahalchim that we can take to Mitara and explain what's going on here. Two different approaches. One, the way Rabbi Bella would set it now, is one is the general and one is the specific. That's the way it is. And I'm going to try to explain it because in the context of Ikvus of the Meshicha, okay? Because that is the topic that we're basically in. The Ramchal in the Das Tvunos and in Derech Hashem, short, doesn't really elaborate the way he does in Das Tvunos, explains that there are two basic principles that run the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Two basic principles. Either it's Schar Va'onesh, Sarva Onesh, Mida Keneged Mida, Sarva Onesh, that is the norm. And then there's a separate Hanhaga of Hashem, which is to bring out and reveal the Yichud HaElyon, to bring out the unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two different approaches that Hashem has to use, okay? Now, he says like this. This is all the Ramchal Derech Tfunos, Simin Sadi Vav, Das Tfunos, forgive me. Okay? It says like this. the essence of all evil in the world, Ra, the Yetzer Hara, but all evil in the world, is number one to give us, as we know, this is the foundations, to give us a nisayon, to test us, to build us, to get closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that we don't have, when we get to the next world and where Hashem is Mashpia, all good to us, that's all he wants to do, that we're not embarrassed. Nahamad the Kisufa, bread that's embarrassing that you get fed without working. No one wants to feel that way. No one does. And therefore, we have to earn our Olam Haba, basic principle that we understand. And he's saying that is the basic purpose of evil in the world, to overcome it with emunah. Basic idea, tzaddik be'emunah so yichye. Tzaddik is with his emunah going to live, kabakuk. And he says that is the goal, one major goal of evil. However, says the Ramchal, with an interesting pshat in the Gemara. So we're going to go back to Rabbi Shmuel and the Kina. We're going to get back there. This is the necessary beginning. It says like this. In the Gemara in Sota, it says, Ikviz Mashiach Mem Tes, when the times of Mashiach are here, we're in it now, according to what we learned over the last few months. Chutzpah Yizke. There's going to be chutzpah everywhere. Chachma Sofrim Tisra. The chachma of all of the Talmidei Chacham is going to be disgusting. It's sticky. Ba'kasuv Omer B'Yeshaya. The pasuk in Yeshaya says, but the ha'emes ne'ederet. Emes will be missing, lacking in the world. V'sar me'ra mishtolel. Now, sar me'ra mishtolel is the simple shot in that pasuk, and this is what the Ramchal is going to be talking about now. Sar me'ra mishtolel usually means, according to Rashi in the pasuk, is that anyone who distances themselves from evil, sar me'ra, staying away from bad, mishtolel, Rashi says, he looks like an idiot. He looks like a shota. Anybody who distances himself from evil will look like a fool. That's another simon of the ikvus of the Mashiach. Chutzpah's running rampant. Everybody's wild. And if you are not part of the riots and the craziness and the killing, you're an idiot. If you say anything that's against all, you're the fool. You're a mishtolel. That's Rashi's pshat. The Ramchal and their Tastfuna says different. He says, that's not the pshat here. He says, what's the pshat? In sar me'ra mishtolel. He says that normally, ra, evil, has its place, as we said up until now. Evil has its place in the world to test us and to build us, to grow and become better people. All the pain that we feel and the suffering is supposed to heal us, not to damage us. Usually, injuries and abuse, etc., are damaging, painful. But for the person who has emunah and is a growing Jew, and he realizes every single bad thing that happens to him is mamish handmade from Hashem, so that he can become a greater person, a closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a healing process. It's a developing process. It's like the opposite. Fine, that we know. However, Sar Meira Mishtolel at Ikvisa de Mashiach is another situation. It's where evil is Mishtolel. All of a sudden, evil is Sar, leaves where he's supposed to be, to build us and to develop us. And he's Mishtolel, says the Ramchal. He's out of control. Evil is out of control. And it starts hitting everyone without any apparent cheshbon in Olam Hazeh. There's no connection or rhyme or reason to why the evil is out of control. That's the pshat, says the Ramchal, in what happens at the Mashiach. And the question is why? Why is it a necessary prerequisite to Ikvus of the Mashiach, this concept that evil is out of its normal category, out of its normal tchum, of building a person, giving you challenges, giving you snow notes, concepts to build and grow and develop, and it's all love to overcome Nahama de Kisufa, the embarrassment of getting to Olam Haba and getting an incredible villa and whatever. You're going to get all the great things without any work. You need the evil in the world to build you. But when Ikmet and Mashiach come, says the Ramchal, it's not the same. Every Ra is out of control. He's Mishtolel, and there's evil everywhere with no rhyme or reason. Out of control. Okay, now I'll explain it a little bit more. Says the Ramchal, what's the reason that during this period of Ikvas de Mashiach, we need evil to go berserk and suffering to be out of control? Everyone's getting it, whether they deserve it or not, whether it's building or not building. Why? Says the Ramchal, something that we've said in the past, but he says it very clear. He says the reason for this evil is because when it goes out of control and everyone is suffering, death is happening everywhere, rampantly. That's what he's discussing here. And Hashem's not listening anymore. You can call out to him and he's not here. Total Hester Panim Gamor. Complete Hester Panim. Hashem hides himself during this period of time. And the world is going mad. Says the Ramchal, the reason for this is when the evil goes wild and Hashem appears to be completely detached from the world, completely, then right after that evil going wild, I'll read you his words, that wildness is going to be killing in its own self. It causes its own bittul. When the evil goes out of its normal tomb of scharva onesh and building a person and goes into this other category of Ikvas de Mashiach, which is wild suffering and evil in the world, that evil going wild is going to cause its bittul, hagufa, its hishtolos, dahainu, shehu nogea, gam betzadikim, ubetovim. It doesn't make a difference at all. Nothing. No one can see who's good or who's bad. The derech zu shehu yotze mitchumo haroilo, arehu machshir es bitulo. It's creating the hechsher for its bittul. What does that mean? What does it mean? So says the Ramchal. The bittul is, once evil is so pronounced in the world, which is now, then when the Mashiach comes and all the evil is removed, it is the ultimate revelation of Hashem, his yichud, which is the second goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhag in the world. The number one is Harva Onesh, build yourself, get your Olam Haba, you get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an individual avoda in this world. Then there's the tikkun of the klal, of the entire world, the global tikkun, which now has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world being known to everyone. Absolute knowledge of Hashem, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash, Melech HaMashiach, there's no doubt anymore, as we said. That's it. Hashem's revelation is clear. Says the Ramchal, that revelation of Hashem, the ultimate revelation where there is no doubt anymore, and there's no evil anymore, and there's no bad, there's only Tov, only Tov. The only way that can come out is when, right before that time, there's total evil in the world. And Hashem is completely, looks like he's not here. A total Hester Panim, absolute Hester Panim. So now when you have the Hester Panim and evil is running crazy, and no one knows where what's up and what's down anymore. Whether this is right or this is right, everything is backwards. You look like a moron if you don't think that certain principles are good that are really evil. Everything. That is necessary. Why? Because right after, when Mashiach comes and the galus is over, there's going to be a total nullification of the bad. So says the Ramchal that this mishtolel, this wildness of evil in the world going out of its tchum, is the beginning of its end. It's when that happens, that's going to makshir. Now you've gone crazy. Evil's everywhere. Hashem is gone. Even now, just telling your father, I wrote him an email. He asked me a question, Rabbi Dreilich in America. Asked me a question. He wants to know what is the message to send his high school students next year about the corona. What is the main thing if you can grab a high school kid and tell him, send them one message? What would you pick? So I said, but now I think we're going to refine a little bit based on what we're learning here, is what we've talked about, is that everybody thinks, usually a magefa in world history, it's not a new thing. We think it's a new thing, but it's been from the beginning of the Chumash, we had a plague, Makos Bechoros, straight through Tanakh, magefas everywhere. History 100 years ago, they had 25 million people die of a magefa. But this is nothing new, what's happening now. This is even mild compared, according to Moshe Aaron's facts. This is mild magefa compared to what we've seen in the world. But what's unique about now, as we all know, is that back then they were primitive donkeys. They didn't know medicine. They didn't know nothing. So, of course, they have magefas, okay? Now, the notion that with all of our incredible medical advancements and technology and everything, the fact that now they can't stop it, that's a chiddush. That's the real chiddush now. But it's always been this way. There have been magefas. And back then, no one had a havamina that there was going to be some scientist and some drug company that's going to come up with a vaccine. Never happens, such a thing. The only address for such a thing was Beg Hashem to stop it. Pinchas goes, he stabbed the Cosby and the Zimri, and that's it. What happened? The Magefa stopped. It was a different vaccine. You could stab people. And that's the way it always is. You dive in and Hashem ends the Magefa. Now all of a sudden, Magefa is the one where there's no Havamina that it's anything other than Hashem. That's the usual idea of what a Magefa represents in all of the Gemara, everywhere in Torah. Now, any other thing, if it's an evil rule or evil this, you dive into your business, politics, you try to shochad, you try to do as much as you can to deal with the mitzias, protect the army, get a war, you have nothing to do. Now there is. So we're stuck back to where we always were, trying to have to focus ourselves that this corona is only Hashem, as is everything. But magefa is usually the thing that everybody can easily see Hashem, and now you can't even see that because of the science. What was I saying? So this is the avodah to Rabbi Dreilich's kids, I said. Maybe just to try to focus them that there's nothing new here other than this magefa can be denied. You don't need Hashem. You still don't need Hashem to get out of this one, right? You don't need him. You need some scientist in China or something. Or Israel, that's what they want. The scientists in Israel to find the vaccine. Wow, great. Okay, so let's help you find it. But really, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's going to give him the chachma to solve it. That's the only real answer. And that's a message to focus on. But now, that's what I told her by trailer. Now, based on this, I think we can add a little bit more to it. This evil that's going crazy in the world now, you can call it that, this magefa and all of the social, everybody's going mad. It's not just the death of 500,000, 600,000 people. The world is really, everybody's out of control right now. It's hot, and everybody's sweating, and everybody's nuts. They can't stay in the house. They got to do something, and they're revolting in everyone, everywhere, not just in America, everywhere, in my house. Everybody's revolting. It's crazy. That's another time. And what is this? This is according to the Ramchal and Rav Friedlander, who's got a parish on the Ramchal, who was Yortzeit yesterday, is to reveal all of the evil that's in the world, bring it out as much as possible, all the craziness, mishtola, let the ra go wild in the world. Why? Because we're about to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You need the contrast, says the Ramchal, between the evil has to be at its pinnacle right before it gets destroyed, right before it is nullified from the world. And that nullification of the evil and the ultimate good is the number, I don't know what's the numbering system, the Ramchal. Number one was to build us and to be giving us good, 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 meitiv, 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 and give us the Yetzer Hara and all the evil in the world to build us. But now it's not about us, it's about the world. And the world needs the Gilui of the Yichud of Hashem, the world. How do you make that Gilui the most powerful? How do you do it? Erase Hashem for Ikvus of the Mashiach. Erase his presence. Of course, he's here. Erase him. Then let the evil go free. And then when Mashiach comes and kills and brings the full revelation of Hashem, what was the response? What was the response of the Bas Kol to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, regarding Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's execution when they ripped his flesh off of his face till, and he's screaming out to Hashem, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, how could you do this, Hashem? And he says, one more word and I'm going to destroy the whole world. I'm going to send it back to Tohu Vavohu. What's the pshat? Says the Ramchal, the pshat, and Iyov, where were you when I built the world? The whole building of the world was for the purpose of the tikkun of the world. I must destroy the world if I'm not going to have this happen. That evil, when it goes wild, is a necessary function. See the tzaddikim getting murdered and destroyed is necessary in order to be able to see the final ultimate good in the world of Hashem. If you don't have it, it's a tikkun of the world. Meaning to say, I have to do this. Don't ask any more questions. This is the purpose of the creation. This is what I must do. If I don't do it, we're just gonna go back to pre-my separation. My creating of this horrible evil decree, this gzera, is necessary for the tikkun of everybody seeing the goodness of Hashem at the end. That's the way the Ramchal explains what this is all about. You can't ask kashas now. I'm not giving you terutzim. This is not the time for terutzim. This is a time for bringing out incredible goodness that you cannot understand at this point. Another way to say it, another way to say this point, I know I'm going over, but I don't speak so much anymore, so take a few more minutes. The Chasam Sofer brings a mashal to explain this chazal, okay? Chasam Sofer compares it to a guy who went to order a suit from a tailor, okay? And he gave the tailor all the fabric that he wanted to use to make the suit. So if you go, let's say, Sammy the tailor, he used to make suits. You gave him your material. The wool or whatever, frock. You give him the material, he takes your measurements, and then he makes the suit. Tailor makes the suit, brings back, the purchaser comes back to pick up the suit from the tailor, and there was a few leftover pieces of fabric that the tailor gave also to the purchaser of the new suit. And the guy's happy with his suit, and he's got a little fabric. After also leftovers, he goes to his friend to show him his new suit. And he describes to his friend, you know, I gave him this number of meters of fabric, this measurement of fabric, and look what I got. And the friend says, what are you talking about? He ripped you off. He took so much fabric from you, you don't even, this is the muscle. He ripped you off, you knucklehead. He should have given you a lot more of this precious wool fabric. He only gave you a little bit. There's a lot more over there. So, of course, the purchaser goes back to the tailor and starts yelling. He says, hey, I want my money back. What the heck did you do? You took away too much fabric. I should have gotten an extra whatever. Swatch. Whatever it's called. of fabric. He didn't give me enough. Says the tailor, okay, you want to see? Let's take apart the whole frock that I made you. We'll take it apart. We'll rip it apart. I'll show you exactly how much I use on each step. And then you'll see if you have it. We'll just undo it. Undo the whole thing so that you can see how I started from the beginning and how I made this frock, this suit for you. And then you'll see if I took any leftover extra for fabric for myself. He says, that's pshat in what a Kaddish Baruch from the Bas Kol is saying back to Rabbi Shmuel, Zut Torah v'Zut Svara, you ripped us off, says the Chasam Sofer. How could you do this to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Zut Torah v'Zut Svara, you stole some of the fabric. This is not fair, not a good deal. And he says, oh yeah, one more word, I'm going to take the whole world and bring it back to Tohu Vavohu. I'm going to bring it back to nothingness and start all over again so you can see what really is going on here and what's my agenda in the world and see whether this is fair or not fair. Starting all over again. And that's the same thing that he said to Eov. When Eov is yelling at him, how could you do so much bad to good people? And he answers him and he says, where were you when I created the world? Biyasti aretz. Where were you when I created the whole world? What is he saying, says according to this Chasam Sofer? What he's saying is, you can't understand what I'm doing. I've got a big picture, baby. You got to go back to the foundations and see how I built the whole Bria and why I built the whole Bria. Two masculine. There are two different roads that we have to take here in the Bria. One is for the individual, and one is the tikkun of the entire world. Everything. It's all in there, and you can't see it. So you see all this horrible things, all this evil. The truth is, I'm going to say one more story that he brings here from Rav Greenwald. That this is brought in Rav Shimshon Pinkus' book, Galus V'Nechama. I think the yeshiva has it. No, didn't I give all my set to the yeshiva of these books? We have this one. We have it, right? So this is a scary story, but it will also drive home the point on some level. During the Holocaust, Rabbi Greenwald, who was the head of a kehila in the Holocaust, in his book, Ein Dima, Tears of the Eye, this tells a story that he was there when they had some type of virus or something was running around the Holocaust, and they all got dysentery, but they had severe diarrhea. That blood was, they were bleeding in also in the diarrhea, and everybody, this machala was all over the camp, in the concentration camp. And when it was all over, everyone had it, and it was disgusting. Some Nazi SS officer made an announcement that we're all going on a bridge, a gesher, a brand new bridge, and they're all going to stand in a line on the bridge. And he said, anybody who dirties this bridge with their excrement, their diarrhea, is going to have to lick the bridge clean with their tongue. And he's standing there, this Nazi, waiting to see when they're going to go to the bathroom, because there's this virus that's going all around. No one's a plague. They cannot. And they died from it. This is there. And he's waiting. And after a few minutes, didn't take long, one of the kids, a young man, obviously made and dirtied everything. And the Nazi says, okay, get down and start licking it up. And the kid couldn't do it. It was too disgusting. And the Nazi started beating him and beating him until he died. So, Rabbi, that's the story. Now, the question is, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did such a horrific thing? How did he let such a horrific act take place? How did he do it? How could you allow such a thing? So the Rav Pinkus quotes No, this is Rav Pinkus quotes the story. He tells about this horrible story, and he says, I'm going to try to explain why this happened, why this specific event took place. There's no way anybody who's in the Holocaust could possibly, you can't say such a thing. But again, he says, similar to what Rav Israel Tauber said here in the yeshiva about 20 years ago, spoke in the yeshiva, it's Olam Emes now. He said, if I have a choice, and Rabbi Greer repeated this many times since then, I have a choice whether to indict the people, the generation of the people who died during the Holocaust, or to indict HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to pick the people, because Hashem is just, and there's no way that this is doesn't have some reason behind it. Those are the two ways to do it, they said. So even though it's very politically incorrect, and you do not say this in front of Holocaust survivors, even though he was, it's the truth. So either you're going to say Hashem has a tikkun klali, like the Ramchal says, and every single person who was murdered, the tzaddik, and had to lick up the tzoah and all these things, Hashem is going to reward him in the next world, and we know that the tzaddikim get hit first. They get the greatest, as we saw from Nadav and Avihu, and all through, it's all in the Ramchal's explanation here. So that guy who had to lick the shoes, lick the tzoah, we could say he was a tzaddik, and he didn't do, let's just say, a terrible thing. That's one caveat that Rav Pinkus makes. But he says, let's look at the fact that they had to lick the excrement. What is that? Where did that? What can we connect that to? So he says, what right before the Holocaust was the first time, because the Brisker Rav, who says this is the first time that the Jewish people's Kedusha was severely compromised by all of the philosophers and all the Haskalah movement, the Age of Enlightenment and assimilation, and everybody thinking that the Torah is primitive and university and intellectualism is the real thing, and that's Hashem, et cetera, power, money, education, that's where we're going, and Torah's out. And he says these people were speaking, Jewish people assimilating, speaking, and licking up all of their words, lapping it up, as we say. You know, lapping up all of the courses and all the garbage that was happening with their tongues, and then spreading it to everybody else, all of their filth, and so on. So it's clear that that is the why the Holocaust came, says Rav Pinkus. I couldn't say it, but he could say it anyway, he's dead, so he can get away with it, okay? But if you're ever gonna look for something, you can never see this unless you have a historical, global perspective as what was going on here, the tikkun. So you have two ways of looking at this story, the Chasam Sofer way, which is, Hashem has to show you what his plan is. Take off the suit, we'll tear it apart and rebuild it, and you'll see that I have a plan, and everything is just, and nothing is wrong here. That's one answer to the Baskel. The other answer to the Baskel, which is in line with the Ramchal, is saying, no, you'll never understand it. This is the tikkun of the entire world is at play here. So it's true, whether or not this guy, and it has nothing to do with necessarily the fact of Schar V'Onesh, that they did apikorsis, the Age of Enlightenment, and that's why this guy is suffering horrible things in the Holocaust. No, the Ramchal would go general and say, no, this is the general tikkun of the world. It has to be that evil is running rampant in the world. It must be, this is part of the tikkun. Ikvus de Meshicha is pure evil in the world, and Hashem is God. And why? Because this was the way Hashem wanted to revealed his great principle of Yichud, the Shmita of Hashem in the world. How do you do that? By having such horrific evil running the world, and then Mashiach comes and neutralizes. Two ways to explain what is Hashem's answer when he says, I'm going to have to return the world to Tohu Vavohu. Okay, don't ask me kashas you can't understand. Is it something that's just out of our scope? It's too big for us to see, too much for for us to grasp why any specific thing is happening. It's too big. Too big. Or you'll never see it. It's not something that can be explained. This is not an explainable act. Why? Because it's all coming for the Kabbat of Hashem and the Yichud of the world. World, the recognition of Hashem. So we're in it now. There is no doubt. I don't think, I told a few people, don't watch the news anymore. There's nothing that's going to come up. All you're going to see is how many more people died, how many more people are shooting police officers and black people and white people and killing Bibi and killing Shmibi. And there's no reason to watch anything. Nothing. You will only become anxiety-ridden if you're not already. You'll only go Meshuggah. Nothing. It's this pure evil in the world. Let the world deal with the evil. We'll deal with our learning. Gemara, Tosfos, Musar. We'll stay in our little teva here while the world is saying, let them get ready for the big revelation of Hashem's goodness in the world. We already know it. We don't need to be part of it. Stay here. Stay close. I'm telling you. Don't watch the news now. Don't watch the news. It's bad. Nothing good is in the news. Promise. There's nothing going to be there saying, guess what? I want to tell you about happy things that are going on in the world. Now, there's nothing. All you're going to do, the best happy story you're going to hear is about some guy who made a vaccine that worked on some rat somewhere, a mouse in some laboratory. That's all you're going to hear, and that's also just going to take your mind off of the fact that it's HaKadosh Baruch who's making the vaccine. That's it. Don't watch the news. I'm not going to say watch movies instead, Chas V'Shalom, but that's better than watching the news now.
Rabbi, can I ask a quick question? Mine's gone. All right.